Hello there, welcome to writing lesson number 18. Today we're gonna see two different messages. One of them is the kind of message that you would like to send and receive, and the other one is the kind of message that you do not want to send or receive. So one of them is going to be a message that delivers good news, and the other one is unfortunately going to be a message that contains bad news. So even though nobody likes to give or to receive bad news, it's, you know, the kind of thing that we sometimes have to do. So we're gonna see what kind of strategies people use when they are giving good news and when they're giving bad news. And we're gonna try to see what's different between these two messages. So let's begin by reading some good news. So this is a message from Robert Strauss to Rebecca S. Taylor. So it starts in a pretty personal kind of tone. He doesn't say hello or hey or hi. He goes straight to Rebecca. So what that tells me is that Robert and Rebecca, they are familiar with each other. They know each other quite well. And so he says, I know you have been expecting this for something. So what goes in that blank? Is it quite a time? Is it quite a while? Or it's been a while? Well, the third one is not the appropriate option, because it's been a while is an independent phrase. It's not gonna fit after the preposition for. Often, it's been a while comes with other ideas, and very often the word since. So for example, it's been a while since I joined the company. So it's been a while since I joined the company, which means that I joined the company a while ago, a long time ago. Also, the first option is not really gonna work, because time is uncountable when you're talking about a duration, a certain length of time. What you could use instead is quite some time. So you have been expecting this for quite some time. So if A doesn't work and C doesn't work either, our best option is, of course, option B. I know you have been expecting this for quite a while. So you can use while as a conjunction. I do this while doing something else, as we have seen previously. But you can also use while as a noun. When you use while as a noun, like in quite a while, you are talking about a long period of time. So let's choose B and move on. So he says, so I am glad to inform you that the latest update to your personnel management software solution is being something next Monday. So I am glad to inform you. The idea this gives is that I am happy to inform you. It satisfies me to inform you of something. And then you have the expression personnel management software solution. That is a mouthful. That is a very long expression, right? Well, when you have these nouns, one before the other, like a train, usually the most important part is the one at the end. So what kind of solution are we talking about? Well, it's a software solution. What kind of software solution? Well, it's a personnel management software solution. So one of these words is going to qualify the next one. And what is happening to this personnel management software solution? Well, it's being rolled in, rolled up, or rolled out. Well, rolled in doesn't really work in this context. It has a completely different meaning. Rolled up also doesn't work. To roll something up is, imagine you have a piece of paper in your hand, or a newspaper, and then you just make a roll with it. You're rolling up the paper, which obviously doesn't make sense in this context. So the option we are left with is option C, rolled out. So to roll out a solution or maybe an update to a system means that you are releasing this solution or this update. So here what Robert is saying is that this solution is being released next Monday. So let's choose option C and move on. This has been a long time coming, and it will be delivered as a functional version. So first of all, what does this expression mean? This has been a long time coming. So when you say that something has been a long time coming, that means you have been waiting for that thing to happen for a very, very long time. So it took a very long time, but this will be delivered as a what? Is it a full functional version, a fully functional version, or a total functional version? Well, total is not going to work here because total is an adjective. And what we need is an adverb. We need an adverb because it's going to interact with the next word, which is an adjective. So what we could have here is the word totally. So a totally functional version. So a completely functional version. So what option do we have here that has the ly at the end? Fully, option B, which is our correct answer. So now he says, although it is essentially the same software suite, there are some important changes to how it is operated. I have tested all these new operational procedures and you something, count on me to help your team through the adaptation process. So yeah, there's a lot happening here. So we start with the word although. So although brings this idea of making a concession. So in Portuguese, it would be something like apesar de, although it is essentially the same software suite. A suite is like a group of similar software, like Microsoft Office, for example, that is a software suite. And it is essentially the same. It's basically the same. But there are some important changes to how it is operated. So there are changes in this certain procedure. But Robert says that he has tested all of these new procedures and it sounds like there's going to be a modal verb there, right? Which modal is it? Is it you will count on me? Is it you can count on me? Or is it you would count on me? Well, would is talking about like a hypothesis. So it's like he would be imagining this situation, which doesn't really fit the context. And what about will? Well, if you say you will do this, you will do something, it sounds like a very strong order. And he is not really giving an order here. He is giving news. So when you say you can count on me, you are basically giving the person permission to count on you. So that's what's going on here. He's saying, you can count on me. Você pode contar comigo. So let's choose option B. I can assure you that it is a solid improvement, blah, 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 what we had. So it's better than before, right? It's a solid improvement, a considerable improvement. So what goes in the blank? An improvement to what we had, over what we had, or with what we had? Well, an improvement with doesn't really work, and neither does an improvement to. When you want to say that something is an improvement in relation to something else, you can use an improvement over something. So you could say something like, this new system is an improvement over the old one. So this new system is an improvement over the old one. You're saying that the new one is better than the old one. So option B is going to be our best choice. However, let's take a look at the last phrase. It is much faster, and some of the more complicated procedures have been greatly streamlined. So not only is it faster, it is much faster. And the procedures have been streamlined. Streamlined means that they were made simple. They were simplified. So greatly streamlined has a similar meaning to really simplified. And then he says goodbye by saying, cheers, Robert. So let's take a look. Well, he starts by being very personal with Rebecca. He just goes, Rebecca. So it's like he's talking to her. He's not going to use any complicated greetings or anything. They're very familiar. And so he establishes what he's going to talk about. He says, you have been expecting this. So let me tell you that this good thing has happened. And this thing is the update to that certain software solution. And he says that, well, although it is pretty much the same thing, it's better now. So it's faster, it's simpler, and he is going to offer her all the help that she needs to understand this new updated version of the solution. So not only is he giving her good news, he is saying that he wants to help her in any way that he can. So overall, this sounds like very good news, right? So now let's take a look at another message, which is not as good as this one. So here we have Kelly Zhang. Zhang is a Chinese surname, talking to Diana Cortazar, which is a Latin or maybe Spanish surname. And once again, notice that there is no greeting here. It just goes straight to Diana. So once again, these people are probably familiar with each other. And then she says, about the request for additional personnel that you sent us last Friday, I'm very sorry to inform you that your request cannot be something at this moment. So notice here that she is saying, I am very sorry, but she's not apologizing, is she? It's very common that when you're giving bad news to someone, you start by saying, I'm sorry. So here, if you were trying to translate this, you would not translate sorry as desculpa. You would translate sorry as sinto muito. And so after saying that you are sorry, you can use a verb with to before. So I am sorry to inform you. I am sorry to say. I am sorry to bother you. And what is she sorry about? Well, the request that Diana sent cannot be what at this moment? Cannot be fulfilled, cannot be attended, or cannot be satisfied. So satisfied, is that a natural thing to say in this situation? Well, it doesn't sound very natural to say that a request is going to be satisfied. Satisfaction is usually more like a human emotion, like the Rolling Stones once sang. And for us, native speakers of Portuguese, attended might seem like a good choice, but we are missing a detail here. If we had attended to, then that would be okay. So you can attend to someone's needs or attend to a request, but attend is used to say that you will go to a certain place, you will go to a certain event. So we have already seen this before, right? So attend a meeting, for example. So you can't really say that you will attend a request, even if it sounds similar to what we would say in Portuguese. What you're really looking for here is the word fulfilled from option A. To fulfill a request means that you do what the request requires of you. So let's choose that option and move on. Unfortunately, most of our logistics teams are still solving up something of issues caused by last month's supply shortage. First of all, what is a shortage? A shortage is when you don't have enough of a resource. So when it doesn't rain, we get water shortages, for example. So what goes in that blank? Well, we have a catalog of issues, an amount of issues, or a backlog of issues. Well, you can already hear that amount is not going to be a correct option, right? Because you have the word amount that starts with a vowel sound, like amount. And before that, before the blank, you have a, not an. So if you had an amount, you could say an amount of issues. That would be correct. But here, we don't have the right word before. And what about a catalog? A catalog of issues. When you see a catalog, it's of good things, you know, things that you can buy. You're just looking at a catalog for things that you want to purchase. So here, it doesn't make sense to have a catalog of problems. What we can have is a backlog of issues, a backlog of problems. What does that mean? You can say that you have a backlog of issues if you have many problems, many issues that you didn't solve. So they accumulated over time. So when they say that they have a backlog of issues, what they mean is that they have lots of problems to solve. So yeah, this is all bad news. Let's choose option C, backlog, and move ahead. And we simply cannot afford to divert something to the issues you described. Afford to is a very interesting expression. So afford to means that you have the resources or the money or the capabilities of doing something. So when they say they cannot afford to divert this resource, that means they don't have enough of the resource. And what is this resource that we're talking about here? Let's see what goes in the blank. We have handwork, we have working, and we have manpower. So in Portuguese, we have the expression mão de obra, but that's not handwork in English. So option A is not good in this situation. B, working also doesn't really fit because you're not going to use working to describe the working capabilities of a certain company or a certain group of people. The word that you are going to use for that is manpower. So manpower is the amount of people that you have who can dedicate their energy to a certain task or to a certain function. So let's choose option C, which is our best option here. And then she says, I have, however, forwarded your request to the project management team. So do you remember what it means to forward a request? So you're taking this request and you are sending it to another person or group of people to see if they are something to contract out the tasks you outlined. So she is looking for the possibility to outsource these activities. To contract out is very similar to outsource. So to contract out is quite similar to outsource, which means that you are going to find somebody from outside the company to do this specific task. And so what goes in the blank there? If they are willing to contract out, if they are interested to contract out, or if they are disposed to contract out. Well, disposed is similar to disposto in Portuguese, but it has more to do with a person's behavior and how they feel at a certain moment. Well, interested could also work, but we have two right next to the blank, which means that we can't really say interested there. Interested to doesn't really work. But in option A, we have willing. To be willing to do something means that you are, that you would accept doing something. So she has sent this request, she has forwarded this request to another team to see if they would like to, if they would accept this idea of outsourcing the task. So let's choose option A. And here we have the last phrase. I will forward you their response as soon as I something it. So she has passed on this request by Deanna. And she says that, well, as soon as they answer my message, I am going to let you know what their response is. So what goes in that blank? As soon as I receipt it, as soon as I reception it, and as soon as I receive it. Which one works? Well, the first two can't really go there because as soon as I needs a verb after it. and receipt and reception, they are nouns, not verbs. So the only option that we have here is truly C, receive. So as soon as I receive this message, I am going to let you know. I am going to forward you this message. And so this concludes our second and final text. We have Kelly Jung, who is sending some pretty bad news to Diana Cortazar, and they are very familiar with each other. So Kelly starts the message by saying, "Diana," it even sounds like the kind of thing that you would say to a person who is standing right there next to you, right? And so she starts by saying, "Yeah, I'm very sorry to inform you that this is not going to work." So she is very kind of apologetic. She is very like, "Well, I'm so sorry about that," you know? So this is a way of showing sympathy to the person that you were delivering the bad news to. And then she justifies, she explains what led to this bad situation. But she also does something that is actually quite important. She not only gives bad news, she gives a little bit of hope, because she says, "I have forwarded your request to someone else, and they might make this request work." So even though this is bad news, as in Diana's request got rejected, there is a good side at the end. There is a little bit of hope. And that is a very good strategy if you are writing something to someone which carries some kind of bad news. And so this is the end of today's writing lesson. I hope you don't have a lot of bad news to give. I hope you only get good news. And if you have any good news or bad news for me, let me know in the comments. Also, if you have any questions, don't be afraid to ask. We're here to help. So that's it. Thank you very much for watching, and I'll see you next time. Happy studies!